10,000!
Thank you for listening to this Belly Up Sports Podcast Network product. Some said we go belly up, so we made it our name, and we're still here.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers Minute Cast starts right now.
Bust out 3-1-2-3, bust!
This is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Minute Cast.
Hello and welcome into this edition of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Minute Cast. I'm so glad you decided to join me today. As always, this podcast is free and available on all of the major platforms. So when you're using your podcatcher of choice, type in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Minute Cast and hit that follow or subscribe button. That way you will know when the new podcasts are available. My name is Dan Holme. You can find me on Twitter. It's at DanCaps218, and as you can see from looking around, I am broadcasting from the Locked On Capital studio. I am working on my Buccaneers studio, and that will be complete soon, but as it stands right now, this is where I'm going to broadcast from, so if you're not a fan of the Capitals, bear with me as we talk some Bucs football here. So in this episode, we are going to talk about Tom Brady. Yes, Tom Brady is not a guy that likes to sit idly by and waste away. You know, and he's even making plans for after he retires. You know, he retired for a few months and then decided to come back. There's so many questions about why did he retire and make a quick return, and what are his plans when he finally hangs up the cleats? Then we're going to talk about who is going to be the number two quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You might think you know who it is, but do you really know? We'll talk about that later in the show. And then in the final segment, we are going to talk about the draft. Yes, the NFL draft, which I know has been some time, but we were going to break down who the Buccaneers picked up and where they fit into this team. All right, to start off here, let's talk about Tom Brady. Tom Brady's a guy, like I say, he's always making plans. He can never sit idly by. He's always got to be thinking of the next thing. Bucs offensive coach Byron Leftwich on Tom Brady as a TV analyst. I think that's excellent, Leftwich said Tuesday. It's crazy. When you're 45, you have to think of your next job when you're still playing football, right? You have to do this early. And you got to think that the networks were just kind of lining up around the block for Tom Brady's services. And, you know, he ended up striking a deal. And as it turns out, he is going to be making more money as a TV analyst than he did playing football. What a crazy world that we live in. This guy is just falling into money headfirst. But it begs a lot of questions about Tom Brady is that he retired because he said that he wanted to spend more time with his family, but he already came back to football 3 months after he retired, and now he has a job lined up for after he's retired. So, you know, it's just a real, he's sending mixed signals, I got to be honest, and when he was questioned about it, what he said was that it was from outside influences that made him retire. And you got to think, what were those outside influences? Was this just a big chess game to get a different contract? Questions abound. And how long will Tom Brady play here? That's the big thing, because he has that contract. And the way it's structured is that it is good after he retires. Immediately after, he's going to be a lead analyst. And I mean, I can't think of anyone better to do that than Tom Brady. So good on him for making good of an opportunity that he has. He's a football junkie, and he has an interesting perspective of football. Byron Leftwich said of Tom Brady eventually being an NFL analyst on Fox when his career is over. And then Greg Ahman writes, I think Brady could be very good on TV, especially if there's a candor there he rarely shows as a player. If he says what he sees, even slightly unfiltered, it could be a lot of fun. He's very measured and careful now. And that's one thing that you can say about Tom Brady is that he is a bit of a politician. You know, he never really says what he's feeling. If there's a horrible game, you can see it all over his face. You can tell that Tom Brady cares a lot about football still. He cares about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he cares about their success. And that's a key to being a quarterback this long in the league, and that's what Tom Brady has. But he never, in post-game pressers, he never really says what he feels. You can tell that he's been doing this for such a long time that he never really gives that morsel, that juicy nugget of information that you're looking for. So to, like what Greg Aumann's talking about here, it is going to be most interesting to see his perspective after he retires, because even if you take a look at those former quarterbacks, you have Aikman and Romo, two quarterbacks that are now analysts on television, and they do have a unique perspective. You know, us fans, you know, the ones that didn't start in the NFL, we are good armchair quarterbacks, but the guys that have actually lived this, those are the guys that can give you the best insight. And if Aikman and Romo can give you great insight, just imagine what Tom Brady can do. Just his football IQ, it's through the roof. And I think that, you know, if he wants to, he can be involved in broadcasting and maybe even coaching at some point. I don't know if you'd want to do that, but I think that the opportunity would definitely be there for him if he would like to. So Bucks, Byron Leftwich on interviewing for the head Jaguars head coaching job. So that was another thing, too, that we're going to talk about here is that Byron Leftwich, he had a lot of different opportunities to take jobs, different places in the NFL, and ultimately they fell through, and their loss is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers' gain, because let's be honest, I mean, he did a great job for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and that would have been a big hole to fill if he left. You got to think that they have a new coach and that Bruce Arians retired, or, you know, he took a different position in the team. That's what the official statement is. But, you know, that's what I'm saying is it's good that they're getting some of that core of coaches back, because, you know, once you start plugging in all these different coaches that you know, you don't know really how that's going to gel together. Is that team going to really play that well with these new coaches that you add in there? So I think that it's good that he decided to stay with the team. And I'm not really sure. I heard all kinds of different things about why it didn't work out for Jacksonville as a head coach. But to be honest with you, I know that these guys, that's what they're working for. Their whole career is to get that job, that big job, that big head coaching job. But what a dumpster fire is Jacksonville. And, you know, you got to think about that, you know, if you go to these really poor teams, I mean, if you get lucky, you know, like a Tom Brady, you can come in there and kind of remake the team, then you'll have some luck. But if you just go into a team like the Jacksonville Jaguars and just kind of and try to piece together a team that's really kind of garbage, to be honest with you, how is that going to work? So I think that that was a best case scenario for him. And I think that that is going to end up helping the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as they move forward. Because, you know, it's going to be a bit of a learning curve for a lot of these different coaches on the staff. They're going to take on different roles than they had before. And, you know, when Bruce Arians was head coach, he made all the calls. He made all the decisions. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out and what role all these different coaches and you know, the repurposed roles within the team, how are they going to fit in? Are they going to still do well next season? It remains to be seen. But one good thing is that we do have Tom Brady for one more year at least. And then he's on to bigger and better things as well. I got to kind of think that with Tom Brady, that this has got to be his last season. This is, you know, I think one of the biggest things with Tom Brady about this, just to get back to Tom Brady a little bit here, is that he knew, he tasted that Super Bowl. He tasted that he could get one more ring, and that bugged him. You know, despite everything that he said that, you know, I want to end up leaving and I want to retire, that really bugged him that he wasn't able to get that last Super Bowl ring. And I'm glad that he decided to make another run with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because there was all kinds of rumors swirling out there if he's going to go to the 49ers or maybe he might have one last hurrah with the Patriots. I am glad that he decided to stick with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and this is their opportunity to do it. They got Tom Brady back. I mean, if you look back on this team historically, they wandered in the wilderness for years with different quarterbacks. You take a look at the Jameis Winston years. Just, you know, a great quarterback on paper, but he threw interceptions like nobody's business. I got to say with Jameis, though, he's a bit of a turned around quarterback now that he's playing for the Saints. But still, nonetheless, let's take advantage of the Tom Brady years while they're still available, because that's what we know as of right now, that Tom Brady will be here for this year. And after that, we still really don't know. And we'll talk about that later in the episode on who is most likely going to be the number two quarterback. And generally, in those cases, may succeed and be the number one quarterback. We'll talk about that later in the show. But As for right now, you know, just big things for Tom Brady. He's already setting up his career after football. And then, you know, the coaching situation, we have Byron Leftwich coming back, which is excellent news because, you know, I was a bit worried there for a while in the offseason that all these coaches from this team, you know, you take a look at Bruce Arians, he's getting a bit older. Who's going to be on this team? Who's going to be head coaching? You know, I think that Bruce Arians has big shoes to fill, and I'm glad that it ended up working out the way that it did. Otherwise, there would be a bit of uncertainty around this team. All right, after the break here, we are going to talk about who is going to be the backup for Tom Brady. I know that those players generally don't see a lot of playing time, but they have to be ready because, let's face it, he's getting older and injuries are always possible. We'll talk about that next. All right, welcome back into this edition of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers MinuteCast. I'm so glad that you're joining me today on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers MinuteCast. My name is Dan Holme. I host Locked On Capitals for Locked On Network, and this is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers MinuteCast, part of the Belly Up Network. And thank you again so much for joining me today. I don't get to do these quite as often. It is the off season, and there's not as much news out there, but I try to keep you updated. This is going to be a weekly show for Belly Up TV. I'm so glad to be a part of the TV network as well. As always, this podcast will also be available in audio form. Just use your podcatcher of choice and type in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers MinuteCast. Hit that follow or subscribe button, and then you will know when the new podcasts are available. All right, in this second segment here, we are going to talk about who is the number two quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I know everyone's saying it's Gabbard, of course, or is Kyle Trask, who was redshirted pretty much the entire season, is he going to be the number two quarterback? And, you know, it's a bit different in the NFL than any other sport. You know, you take a look at a backup goalie, even they get more playing time, generally speaking, than the backup quarterback. So it is kind of a position that you kind of just sit back and rake in the money, because rarely are you used unless your starting quarterback is garbage. Then you're used, or if your starting quarterback is injured. So this is what I'm talking about. Everyone kind of thought that Kyle Trask might get his opportunity, but he was redshirted the entire season last year. He didn't get any playing time. So the news is now, if you were hoping to see Kyle Trask dress for the Bucs games in his second year, this is disappointing news. Clyde Christensen says ex-Gators quarterback won't even compete with Blaine Gabbert for the number two job behind Tom Brady. He knows his time is coming. And, you know, the one thing I worry about with Kyle Trask is that I think that he has a really big upside. If you watched him play for the Gators, he is an excellent quarterback. But my cause of worry here is that if he just keeps getting pushed out, that eventually there is going to be a team out there that is seeking his services. And I think that Kyle Trask has not been given his just chance with this team. I know that Gabbert is a bit more of a proven commodity, but I think that giving Trask, who I think is going to succeed Tom Brady at some point, I mean, he is the younger, more apt athlete out there over Gabbert, is that why not give him his chance? Christensen is being polite, but he said today that Blaine Gabbert has had a couple of great years in the NFL. His career high in 11 season is 12 touchdown passes, and that was a while, 15 games as a rookie. So that has been some time. So I think that, you know, to a certain extent, I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are kind of just looking to save some money in that position as they try to shore up and get these different players. If you take a look at the players that the Buccaneers have around them, you're looking at some elite level players that, you know, they demand a high wage. So if you end up moving on from him, then who are you going to get? So that's what I'm saying, is that you have to end up keeping Kyle Trask in house. So that's the big thing, is I would get him some playing time before it's too late, because that is my big cause of concern here. Bucs quarterback coach Clyde Christensen said they will use OTAs to get extended reps against defense for the quarterback, Kyle Trask. Another quote from Christensen that's meant as, I'm glad Tom Brady is back, but doesn't speak well of Kyle Trask. I think he continues to progress. I'm glad we didn't have to find out on opening day this year. That gives us another year to keep developing him. And that was the big thing, wasn't it? Is that, You know, I think that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I know they were kind of left scrambling. What are we going to do? Who is going to be our starting quarterback? You heard all the different free agents out there thought about as being the starter for the Bucs next season. And then, you know, Tom Brady kind of rode in on his horse and saved the day, because unless, you know, they had the Glazers or Jason Light had some inside information, which they very well may have had, that, you know, who were they going to have as the number one quarterback for the team? Because every time Jason Light was interviewed, he seemed kind of calm and had a smile on his face. So it makes you kind of wonder if he did, in fact, know that Tom Brady was coming back. So there's so many questions that abound about that. Quarterbacks coach Clyde Christensen said there is no flip side to Tom Brady returning, even for Kyle Trask. I look at it this way. Best way to develop him, Christian said. Added, he doesn't see him as competing for number two spot with Blaine Gabbert. I see Gabbert being the backup. And so I wonder, you know, if Clyde Christensen is seeing something that we're not seeing, because Trask, you know, who played well for the Gators, you know, like I said, a bit of an unproven commodity. But with that being said, I mean, they drafted him. Why not make the best use out of him? Or why did you draft him in the first place? You know, to a certain extent, I think that obviously Tom Brady is going to be your number one quarterback, of course. But why not give Kyle Trask his shot as number two? You know, when you take a look at it, I mean, he's a younger, more apt quarterback out there. Like I say, I know that Gabbert is more of a proven commodity, but I think that, you know, they're kind of doing a disservice to Trask to just be kind of dismissive of him. I mean, the worst case scenario in this situation is that he gets kind of sick of his situation in Tampa and decides to move on to another team. And then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are put into a position again of, well, we got to draft another quarterback. And then, you know, you're put in that position of, well, when are these chickens coming home to roost? When are these quarterbacks that we are drafting, when are they going to get their start? And, you know, maybe there's a bit of a bad taste left in their mouth after the whole Jameis Winston thing. Everyone was drinking the Kool-Aid on Jameis Winston when he first came to the team. This guy is such a great quarterback. Well, we know how that turned out. Now, in all fairness to Jameis Winston, he was a decent quarterback on the team. He broke all kinds of records for pass yards and that kind of thing, but he was an interception machine. And that kind of overshadows any other stat that will be thought and remembered with his time with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, is just that. You know, when he was under pressure, you know, sometimes, you know, the guy was getting ready to sack him and he was almost on the ground and he would just blindly pass the ball downfield. And guess what? Surprise, surprise, interception. Who's surprised? I'm not. Are you? So in any event, maybe that's the apprehension with going with Kyle Trask. But that's that side of the coin. The flip side of the coin is that you have Tom Brady. So barring some major injury that Tom Brady faces, why not go with Kyle Trask as your backup? I mean, who knows? He may not even see a snap. Or, you know, I think that the backup, you know, will only end up seeing any action, like I say, if Tom Brady's injured or if it's just a blowout game where they're ahead by three or four possessions. But my take on this is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers need to be all in on Kyle Trask, because Gabbert, I mean, he's an older guy. What are you trying to save face for with him? I mean, he's not the future of the team. So I think you can distinguish Gabbert knows this offense well and is uniquely suited to be our top backup here. And Gabbert is among the best backups in the league. If the latter were true, other teams would pursue him and he'd cost more to re-sign every spring, writes Greg Ahman. And, you know, that's kind of what I'm talking about here, is why not go with Kyle Trask? Because if Gabbert is this great quarterback, I mean, why aren't other teams putting the full court press on him? I mean, there's a lot of teams out there that could use his services. Why does he still continue to be with the Bucs? You got to think that, you know, to a certain extent, you take a look at him and you look at Griffin, who's a third-string quarterback. Oh, my God, third-string quarterback. That's got to be a tough role for a quarterback, doesn't it? I mean, you just got to kind of hope and bide your time that someone's going to pick you up. Because if you look at Griffin, I mean, how much playing time has he had in the NFL for the Buccaneers? Next to none. And I don't know. I mean, you just think about it. Growing up playing football, making your way through college, all these different kind of things, just to be a third string quarterback for a team that has Tom Brady as your number one quarterback, that must be a lonely position if you think about it. And in any event, with Kyle Trask, I think, like I say, give him his shot on the big team. You know, he might not even get any reps anyway. So unless that Christensen, the quarterback's coach, sees something that I don't see, it really doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And it just makes sense to give Kyle Trask his opportunity. If you take a look at the film, he played excellent for the Gators. And I know that doesn't always necessarily translate to the NFL, but I think that you should give him his shot because I think he's deserved it just by how he played in college. You take a look at Gabbert. I don't think he really brings anything to the table. You know, every time I've seen him come in, if it's a blowout game, I've never that surprised. What I do notice is, wow, there is a huge difference between Tom Brady and Gabbert out there. So, that's my take on that. So, all right, after the break, we are going to talk about the draft. I know we're a little bit past the draft. Give me a break, but we are going to talk about that next. All right, welcome back to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Minicast. I am so glad you decided to join me today. My name is Dan Holme. You can find me on Twitter. It's at DanCaps218. I am the host of Locked On Capitals. I also am also the host of the Washington Nationals Minicast. But this podcast here is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Minicast, proudly brought to you by the Belly Up Podcast Network, Belly Up Media, and Belly Up TV. So great thanks to them for getting involved with this podcast. I'm most grateful. So let's talk about the draft here. It's been some time, and you know the draft is always kind of an exciting time of year, but the Buccaneers were active on the draft, and let's kind of go over some of the different players they picked up in round two, pick one. They picked up Logan Hall, defensive end. Hall signed with Houston after starting at Belton High School, which is north of Austin. He played in 11 games as a true freshman in 2018, 14 tackles, 3 for a loss, and even made a start of the team's Armed Forces Bowl game against Army. As a sophomore, he started 3 of 12 games played, 14 tackles, 2 for a loss, and started 7 of 8 in 2020, playing as a defensive end tackle in Houston's 3-4 scheme, 23 tackles, 2 for a loss, 1 with a sack. With Peyton turning off in the NFL in 2021, Hall became a big playmaker and garnered first-team All-American Athletic Conference honors with a team-high 13.5 tackles for a loss, with a 6.5 sacks among 48 tackles in 13 games. So Logan Hall is a defensive end. I think that that's a pretty good pick. As you know, a lot of these players, these veteran players, they're going to move on. Who is going to be the face of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Moving on, Luke Gadecki, pick number 25, number 57 all from the Bills. Gadecki began his collegiate football career at Division III Wisconsin Stevens Point, even though he enrolled there thinking he was done with the sport after suffering injuries at Velders High School. He changed his mind over the summer, trying out for the team at tight end and catching 12 passes for 132 yards on the year. Gadecki transferred to Central Michigan for 2018, redshirting and growing into a right tackle role. He started all 14 games there in 2019 before missing the 2020 campaign due to a knee injury. Gadecki bounced back with first-team All-MAC effort in 2021, starting 10 games at right tackle, missing 2 contests for undisclosed reasons and opting out of the team's bowl game to prepare for the NFL draft. So that is another one at a guard. Luke Gadecki, where does he fit in? Central Michigan. Like I say, a lot of these players are moving on. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have got to be ready. Round 3, pick 27, Rashad White, running back. White was the first team All-State pick at Center High School in Kansas City and signed with the Division II Nebraska Kearney, where he redshirted in 2017. He then played 2 years at Mount St. Antonio College, becoming a first-team junior college All-American in 2019, 1,264 yards, 10 touchdowns rushing in his first year with ASU. White led the FBS with 10 yards per carry, 42 for 420, 3 starts, and scored 5 times on the ground. He also led the Sun Devils in receiving yards. He garnered second-team All-Pac-12 notice in 2021 by leading the Sun Devils with 1,006 rushing yards and 15 scores on the ground, 182 carries, 5.5 per. So, despite missing time with a right leg injury, he played in 11 games. White opted out for the team's bowl game to prepare for the NFL draft and another position in need. Let's move on to Cade Otton, pick number 1 of round 4. The Otten family has deep roots in football. Cade's grandfather, Sid, is the state of Washington all-time leader in high school coaching wins. His father, Tim, coaches at Turnwater High School, where Cade was named Class 2A State Player of the Year as a senior, 39 for 733, 13 touchdowns, receiving 107 tackles, 10 for loss. His uncle Brad played quarterback at USC, and his younger brother Ryan was offered by Washington in the summer of 2020 to be a part of the recruiting class of 2022. Otten redshirted in 2017 and excelled the following year, earning the team's Freshman of the Year award. Otten first earned All-Pac-12 recognition in 2020, leading the Huskies with 18 receptions, 258 yards. His 2021 season did not go as expected, however, as he missed four games, two for COVID protocol, and the team's quarterback struggled to get him the ball. 28, and he had only 9 touchdowns that season. So, you know, there's a lot of, you know, intangibles, like I talked about there, you know, is that you don't know, especially in his position as a tight end, is he going to get the football? And I think that he made the most of his opportunity out there. And, you know, like it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, just because the Buccaneers drafted these players doesn't necessarily mean they're going to fit in the overall scheme. So it remains to be seen. Pick number 28, Jake Camerata, the two-time first-team All-Georgia pick, assumed punting duties as a true freshman for the Bulldogs. He was 43-1, 830 for 42.6, 16 fair catches, 10 inside the 20, 8 touchbacks. Camerata ranked 7th in the FBS in punting average his sophomore campaign, 61 for 2. 12 fair catches, 25 inside the 20, 9 touchbacks before gaining third-team Associated Press, All-American, and SEC Special Teams Player of the Year honors in 2020. The Ray Guy Award finalist ranked 4th in the FBS in punting. He was 36-1, 677 with a 46.6, 15 fair catches, 18 inside, 20 and 6 touchbacks. Camerata was a first-team All-SEC pick for the national champions in 2021 and averaged 46.7 yards per punt. So some great depth there. And you know that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have had some issues with punters in seasons past. So it remains to be seen if he fits in the overall scheme for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I guess time will tell. So then we're moving on to Zion McCollum. McCollum was a second-team All-District pick his junior and senior years at Ball High School in Galveston before signing with the Bearcats. He started 10 games as a true freshman, leading the squad with 3 interceptions and 14 pass breakups, 42 tackles, 1 sack, and 14 appearances overall. He played and gained attention of Southland Conference coaches in 2018, earning him the first-team All-League notice and trying out for SHSU lead with 3 interceptions and 8 pass breakups, 44 tackles, 1.5 for loss, and 2 forced fumbles. So that is at pick number 4 at round 5, pick 14. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were very busy this draft season. It remains to be seen, like I said, where these guys fit in. Next on the list here is Cole Kieft, pick number 40 in round 6, tight end from Minnesota. Kieft has been a blocking stalwart for the Gophers since his redshirt freshman season, though he also caught 2 passes for 17 yards, 8.5 per in 12 games that year. The All-State linebacker and starting quarterback at Sioux Center High School in Iowa, then he started 3 of 13 games in 2018, catching 1 pass for 19 yards, as well as 2-point conversion passes. Kieft started 5 of 12 games in 2019, no receptions, and twice in 4 games in 2020. His blocking receiving acumen, 7 for 101, 14.4, 1 touchdown, and 13 starts earned him honorable mention, all Big Ten conference accolades in 2021. And then to round it out here, round 7, pick 27, we have Andre Anthony. Anthony redshirted his first season at LSU because of academic transcript issues. He then missed the 2017 season with an injury. Anthony was healthy enough to start 3 of 13 appearances in 2018, 14 tackles, 0.5 sacks, and then played 9 games for the national champions the following year, 9 tackles, sacks, and 2 starts. He started 8 of 10 contests in 2020, leading the Tigers with 5.5 sacks among 24 tackles. So there are a lot of decisions for this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team to make. And, you know, I just kind of listed there briefly who they ended up drafting. Where do these players fit into this team? Because let's face it, there is a lot of shoes that need to be filled. Some players that have left this team that have left vacancies. And then there's still some outliers. We still don't know the status of a lot of different these different players until we start getting into OTAs and we start getting into the training camps and stuff in August. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have been busy, and let's hope they can turn it around. So the big news from this podcast here is that Tom Brady has a future outside of broadcasting. The number two quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is going to be Gabbert. And then there were very busy on draft day and drafted some potential great players. So that's what I have for you today in this episode of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Minutecast. I'm so glad that you decided to join me today. This will be a weekly video cast and podcast on the Belly Up Network. This will air at 5 p.m. Eastern. So make sure and check that out. And once again, I want to thank you so much for joining me. Have a great day.